Hey, if you're new here with us today, welcome to the river. We're glad you're here. You can clap for that. We're glad you're here. We are today continuing in our series on Advent. And again, if it's your first week and you say, well, what's Advent? Well, the word Advent means the anticipation of an important person or event. And so in the church, at this time of year, we celebrate Advent, which is the anticipation of the most important person and the most important event, which was Christ coming to earth some 2,000 years ago, and we anticipate his return one day. And so we spend this season preparing our hearts for Christ. We spend this season preparing our homes for Christ. We spend this season looking towards Christmas and getting ready for that moment. And so if you've been here with us in week one, we talked about hope, which at the arrival of Christ to earth was that moment some 2,000 years ago that we saw the realization of hope. For thousands and thousands of years, people had waited for a Savior, hoped for a Savior, anticipated a Savior. And some 2,000 years ago, when Jesus came on that Christmas day, it was hope realized. And then week two, we talked about peace, that as Jesus arrives on earth, not only is he the realization of hope, but he comes to earth as the Prince of Peace, who brings us peace with God and leaves us peace through his Holy Spirit. And then last week, we talked about the idea of joy, that at the arrival of Christ, we can meet him with joy, not just because he's a Savior, but because he's a Savior who came for you. Amen? Because if he was a Savior, that's great, but it doesn't mean nothing if he wasn't a Savior that didn't come for me and for you. And so as Christians on this Christmas season, we can celebrate with joy, anticipate with joy. We can respond with joy because Jesus is a Savior who didn't just come as a Savior, but as a Savior who came for you. Amen? I feel like we can go home on that. Praise God. This week, we will finish out, well, at least this part of the series, with love. We're going to finish out with love. And I don't know about you, but I feel like December has flown by so quickly. Anybody else? Feels like we've flown by so quickly, and next week is Christmas. Can you believe it? Next week is Christmas. By the way, I'm going to plug this while you're still listening to me. Next week, we're not going to be having a Sunday morning service. Remember, we're going to be doing two Christmas Eve services, a 2 o'clock and a 3:30. The reason we're doing two is because we're doing family-style services, which means all the kiddos are going to be in here with us, and it's going to be fun. Amen? So I'll say this. Christmas traditions are important, aren't they? Christmas traditions are important, so let's make spending Christmas Eve at the river with your family one of your traditions, okay? So I'm going to mention that, right? But next week is Christmas. I feel like it's gone by so fast, 1 week away. How we feeling? Are we ready? Are we ready? Let me help you out here. Here's why when I asked, are you ready, there was like five people that were like, yeah, right? Because as soon as I said we're 1 week away from Christmas, half the room got stressed. Amen? Half the room, like somebody back there is having a panic attack right now, right? Why, right? Because there's still so much to do. There's still so much to do. I'm sure there's food to buy. There's stores to visit. There's traveling plans to confirm. There's laundry that has to be washed. There's decorations that need to be made. Like, at least one person's like, I don't even have a Christmas tree up yet, right? Like, there's so much still to do, right? So as soon as I said we're 1 week away from Christmas, at least half the room got stressed. And the main reason why you probably got stressed is because most of us thought, I haven't finished buying presents yet. Anybody? Let me ask this. Raise your hand if you are finished with buying your Christmas presents. Like 10 of us. 10 of us. Right? Here's what I've learned in my some 30, almost 37 years of life, is that there's two types of people in the world. Two types of people, right? There's that type of person that has the list. They've got like the Excel spreadsheet, right? They know how much every gift is going to cost. And by December 1, they have purchased and wrapped every single present. They are finished. And then The second type of person is the person who's going to be at Christmas Eve showing up to a gas station because it's the only spot left open, and there's that one person that you realized you forgot, right? Somebody's getting Pringles. Somebody's getting an air freshener, right? Like, you know what I'm talking? That's what I'm talking about. And let me say this. Don't feel judged, because I am that second type of person, right? Like, somebody in my family is going to be opening up some Pringles on Christmas morning and going like, oh, thank you, right? No, but that would be true if it wasn't for my wife, Katie, right? Praise God for a good wife. Amen? All right? Amen. Thank you, right? And so we're stressed, right? Because we still have so many things to do. There's so many presents to buy. But I would ask the question, why is it that the presents stress us out so much? Why is it that as we think about it, I still have to buy people presents, I got to do this, I got to make sure that I get the right gift? Why is it that stresses us out so much? And here's why. Because the gifts matter. The gifts are important. The gifts that you're going to give to people that you love matter, right? Now listen, To the person here who's already sitting there going, but it's not the most important part of Christmas, Pastor. Right? I know somebody's in here like, Jesus is the reason for the season. I know. Okay, I know. That's not what I'm saying. But the gifts do matter. The presents matter. And it's not about how much you spend on the gift. It's the thought behind the gift. It's the person you're buying the gift for, right? Like, as a child, there's so many memories that I have as a kid of presents that I received, presents that I remember opening and going, oh my goodness, I can't believe I got it. Like, I remember being a kid in the first Batman cave I got. Anybody remember that? Right? I got a little Batman cave I loved playing with. I remember my first CD player I got. It was called a boombox back then, right? That dates myself. And to all of you who grew up in church, my first CDs were Carmen the Standard and the Newsboys, okay? So if you grew up, yeah, you know what I'm talking about. If you grew up in the church, you know what I'm talking about, right? I remember one of my favorite gifts was a little Dallas Cowboys helmet and jersey that my mom and dad bought for me and my brother. And I remember putting that little helmet on, and it's the reason why I suffer through the Cowboys even to this day, right? Because I remember putting that helmet on and feeling, I felt like a real football player, right? We went out in the backyard, and even though it was plastic, it made me feel so cool. And it just, right, I don't just remember the gift. I remember the way it made me feel. I remember one Christmas we wanted a Sega Genesis so bad, and I remember hoping that we were going to get it, anticipating that we were going to get it. And I remember, because I would always stay up, pretend like I was asleep, and then stay awake, and as soon as my parents went to bed, I'd go out and check. I didn't look at the presents, I just wanted to make sure they were there. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to make sure, right, that I got something, okay? But I remember staying up and hearing the music from the Sega Genesis being played in the living room at like 12 o'clock at night. And the reason was because Dad had to test it out, right, to make sure that it worked, right? I remember, right, all these gifts and the memories. Why? Because the presents matter. That's why we're stressed. The presents matter, right? And then something happens, right? You begin to get a little bit older, and you go from being the kid who gets to receive the gift to the parent or the adult who gets to give the gift. Now we go from being the ones that the main focus, the main point is receiving the gift, to being the ones who get to give the gifts. And I would ask the question, right, why do we do this, right? Why is it that we go from being the one who received to the one who gives? And I know that for all of us, there's probably some gifts that you give out of obligation, right? So-and-so will be there. We got to make sure we get one for them, right? Maybe there's a gift. You amen that one. There you go. He's thinking about somebody right now, right? Right. And then, of course, I'm sure there's like an office Christmas party or something you got to go to. So you got to swing by and get something for the Christmas party. But don't think about those gifts. Think about the ones that have meaning to you. The people that you're going to buy presents for, already have bought presents for, stressed out because you haven't bought presents for. But that person, look, that gift that has meaning to you. Maybe it's a mom or a dad. Maybe it's a spouse or a child or an aunt or an uncle or that friend who's always there for you, that friend who always has your back, that person that means so much to you. Think about that gift and begin to think about, why is it that we do that? Why is it that you think about that person? You go, I want to get them a gift, and it has to be this particular thing. And oh, I want it to be something I like. And I know you're thinking like, you know, social obligation, right? Or society's forced this on us, right? But no, right? Like when I'm buying presents for my kids, when I'm buying presents for my wife, I'm not thinking, got to get them a gift again, right? Just did this last year. We got to do it all over again, right? No, I'm excited to do it. I find joy in doing it. I tell you what, right now, I cannot wait for Christmas morning. And again, it's not about the amount that you spend on the gifts. It really is about the thought, and it's about that person. It's about finding the thing that that person will open up and find joy. Amen? It's about like getting the right thing for that person that you know they're going to love. And I cannot wait for Christmas morning, because my boys, tell you what, they have been asking for some gifts, man, right? Amazon sent us, thanks Amazon, sent us a like a catalog, like JCPenney used to do and whatnot, and so my boys have that catalog, and they're circling the mess out of that catalog, right? Like, matter of fact, last Saturday, the boys woke up at like 6 o'clock in the morning, and instead of coming and waking me and Katie up like they normally would, they sat on that couch and opened that catalog and were circling presents in the catalog, right? Praise Jesus for Amazon, right? At least from that moment, right? Thank God for Amazon, right? Why? They're pumped. They're excited. They're anticipating the gifts that they're going to receive. They're hoping for the gifts they're going to receive. And I hope that they find joy when they receive those gifts, because I cannot wait for Christmas morning. Christmas Day comes and they get to open those gifts and I get to see the joy on their faces. When I get to see the wonder on their faces, when I get to see the excitement on their faces, when I get to see the gift that we got them that they didn't think they were going to get, and they're going, I can't believe we got this. It's exactly what I wanted. I can't wait. And you know why? Social obligation, right? No. Because I love them. Because they're my children and I love them. The motivation for the gift is the father's love for his child. Amen? See, the presents are an act of love. The presents are an act of love, not to spoil my children, but as a way, as an opportunity to show them that I love them. Because a father who loves his children is motivated to give them gifts simply for no other reason. I'm not expecting anything in return for my kids on Christmas morning. I get them the gifts because I love them. The good gifts, hear this, church, if you're taking notes, write this down. The good gifts a father gives his children are his display of love for them. Amen? Amen. You're preaching my sermon for me back there. And at Christmas time, it's an opportunity for me as a father to find the perfect little gift that my son's going to love, the one that he didn't expect to receive. And I keep saying this because it's important. It's not about the amount of money. It's about the right gift for the right person. It's the right gift for the right person. And the good gifts a father gives to his children are a display of love for his children. And at Christmas time, as we think about Christmas and looking at this next week, and I think about Christ and his coming to earth, and we've been celebrating Advent all this month, and we talked about how hope was the realization, or Jesus coming to earth was a realization of hope, that peace, when Christ came to earth, he brings us peace with God and peace in our lives. We get to respond in joy to the gift of Christ in salvation. And I want to say to you this morning, church, that all of that happens. We get to enjoy all of those good gifts of hope and peace and joy. All of that happens because of God's actions towards us, which were his display of love towards you and I. Amen? Christ coming to earth some 2,000 years ago was God's display of love for his creation. It was God's display of love for his creation. The gift of Christ is God's display of love for you. And I know even as we sit here today, that can feel weird for us to say. I don't know, you're going, why is that weird? Because for some people, when they think of love, they don't think of God. For some people, when they think of a loving father, they don't think of God. When they see God, they think of a angry father or a dad who's waiting to catch you and make you mess up, and they're ready to get you. And for some people, when they think of love, they don't think of that as a character trait that they would use to describe God. As a matter of fact, I remember sitting with a person one day, and we were just talking about it. They said, man, when I think of God, I think of God more as somebody to be feared than to be loved. But oddly enough, if you read the scriptures and you study the Bible, what you see is that the Bible explicitly ties love and God together. The Bible explicitly ties love and God together. And what I want to tell you is Christ coming to earth was his greatest display of love for you. See, 1 John tells us that God is love. Let me read it for you, right? If you're saying, how can you tie love and God together? Let me read this to you. He says, dear friends, let us love one another, because love is from God. And everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. You catch that? Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Verse 8, and the one who does not love does not know God, because God is love. Isn't that interesting that you cannot separate love from God? Like, you can't separate the two. The Bible even says, if you don't love people, you don't know God. If you don't love one another, you can't know God, because God is love. And if you don't know how to love people, you must not know God. Isn't that interesting? Does that hurt anybody else in the room besides me? Right? The Bible explicitly ties love and God together. God is love. The Bible tells us who God is. He is love. 1 Corinthians 13 tells us what love is. Let me read it to you. See, I'm going to start in verse 4 through 8. It says, so 1 John tells us that God is love. 1 Corinthians tells us what love is. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. It is not boastful. It is not arrogant. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not irritable. It does not keep a record of wrong. That one gets me too right there, right? Amen. Yeah. Everybody who's married can say amen on that one, right? Yeah. I'm just being honest. Verse 6, love finds no joy in unrighteousness. That's good. But rejoices in truth. Praise God. Verse 7, it bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. Praise God. Amen. And if God is love, and 1 Corinthians just tells us what love is, then I would say, what a good, good, good God we have. Amen. Amen. You can clap for that. It's okay. But you know, it's one thing to be told someone is something, isn't it? Like, I could tell you that I'm a star athlete, and you probably wouldn't believe me, right? I could tell you, I could go dunk a basketball, and you would say, yeah, right, right? Right? It's one thing to be told what something is, or to be told who something or who someone is. But it's a different thing entirely to see that thing in action, isn't it? Because the Bible tells us that God is love, so it tells us that's who he is. The Bible tells us what the definition of love is, and it's one thing to know who or be told what somebody is, what a definition is, but John 3:16 shows us what God's love in action looks like. You see that? The Bible tells us God is love. 1 Corinthians defines love. John 3:16 shows us what love is in action. Let me read it for you. And I'm reading out of the CSB. It says, for God loved the world in this way. It's a key phrase. For God loved the world in this way, that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. You see, God's love in action was to send his Son. The Bible says that God loves us, and then the Bible tells us how God loves us. It's one thing for me to tell you that I love you, but then you get to see that love in action. That changes everything, right? It's one thing for me to tell you that I love you or tell you that you're loved. It's a different thing to see how that love plays out. The Bible says, for God loved the world. How did God love the world? In this way. This is how he loved the world. He sent his son for you, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Praise God. Amen. You see, God sending Jesus to earth that Christmas day was the way God shows his love for you. God sending Jesus to earth that Christmas day was love in action. You see, God's display of love for you as a father who delights in giving good gifts to his children was knowing his creation was lost and in need. And his action of love was to send Christ to earth to die and be resurrected so that you and I can have eternal life, so that you and I could have the relationship with God restored. That is simply the gospel. A God who knows his creation is lost and in need, and his act of love was to come for you. Praise God. That display of love is God in the flesh. That display of love is the promised King coming. That display of love is forgiveness of sin for you and I. That display of love is freedom from guilt for you and I. That display of love is death defeated for you and I. It's the promise of heaven. It's the crushing of the oppressor. Christ coming to earth as he brings salvation crushes the oppressor, so he ain't got nothing to say to you anymore. Amen? Amen. It's the action of love, all wrapped up in a baby who came to earth on that Christmas day some 2,000 years ago for you and I. It's one thing for me to tell you what love is. It's one thing for me to tell you that God is love. It's an entirely different thing for you to experience that love and see it on display in your life at the coming of Christ for you. Amen. Love in action. God loved us that way that he sent his only son that we might have salvation. And church, let me tell you, love changes everything. And you say this morning, okay, that's great. So Mike, you're telling me that God is love. You're telling me what love is. You're telling me that John 3:16, God came, you know, sent his son so that I might have eternal life. That's great. So Mike, now what does God want from me? What does he want from me? What does he want from me in exchange for this great display of love? Let me tell you just the truth. Like next Sunday morning, when we're going to get up early, we're going to open presents. Actually, I say get up early. I'm sure my kids will be in the bed at like 4:30 a.m. Like, let's go, Dad. There's presents out there, right? There's presents out there. But let me tell you, when they open those presents, here's what I'm going to want from them. I'm going to want them to enjoy them. I'm going to want them to be happy. I'm going to want them to see the gifts that are given to them and feel loved, to feel known by their mom and dad. And here's what I want to tell you this morning. You say, well, what does God want from me in exchange for salvation, exchange for a relationship with him? Here's what God wants for you this morning, church. He wants you to have all of your hope in him. Amen? He wants you to experience peace through him. Amen? He wants you to live a life of joy because of what he's done for you. He wants you to feel loved by him, known by him, to enjoy him. He wants salvation for your soul. He wants restoration for your relationships. He wants healing in your life. He wants you to be set free from sin, shame, guilt, and the grave. Amen. He wants a new life for you. That's what God wants for you this morning. Amen. That's what God wants for you. Like a father who gives good gifts for his children, he is motivated by love, and he wants you to walk confidently in the gifts that he has given you. He wants you to experience salvation, freedom from sin, a transformed life. He wants you to enjoy the gift of salvation. All good gifts from a good father who sent his love on display for you some 2,000 years ago. Isn't God good? Amen. Stand with me, church. Here's my hope. Here's my hope. That today, no matter where you are, no matter what life looks like for you this Christmas season, no matter what you're walking in, whether you're stressed out, laid out, tired, I don't know where you are, but here's my hope for you today, that as we talk about love, that you see God's incredible display of love for you. Not anybody else. Don't look at your neighbor. Don't think about your neighbor. Don't think about anybody else. I want you to see and experience and know God's incredible display of love for you. A love that can bring hope into your life. Man, if you put your hope in the right place, you will never be without hope. But you got to put your hope in the right place. A love that can bring peace in all circumstances in your life. Peace with God through the forgiveness of sins. Peace in all circumstances through the power of His Holy Spirit. You can be made a peacemaker in the relationships in your life. But you got to be looking for peace in the right place. I hope that you see God's love for you and you experience joy this Christmas season. A joy that walks confidently knowing that God loves you, God cherishes you, that He's transformed your life. But again, you got to look for joy in the right place. It's all found in Jesus. And so this morning, I hope that you would look and see God's incredible display of love for you through Him sending Christ to earth some 2,000 years ago. He didn't do it for no reason, right? He wasn't a Savior who came for nobody. He was a Savior who came for you. A Savior who came for you. And my hope for you is that as you experience God's love, that you would begin to understand who God is. That as you experience His love, that maybe you would even learn to love better or more because God is love. That you would see God's display of love for you and it would change your life. That as you walk in relationship with God, you would feel seen, you would feel known, you would feel cherished by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And as you experience God's love in your life, you would be able to take joy in His good gifts for you that He delights bestowing upon His children. That you would find salvation, freedom from sin, freedom from shame, freedom from guilt, and you would walk in deep relationship with the Savior. And you would live a life filled with meaning every single day. Every good gift from our Father in heaven. And it starts with love and action towards you. Praise God. Amen. Hey, listen, church, I'm going to pray. The band's going to come out. We're going to worship one more time. The guys will be walking down with communion. If you would like to worship in communion, you can take one of those cups and the crackers and praise God in your seat. And you can take that by yourself there at your own time. If you would like, you can come down. And we got a lot going on at these altars, but there's still space for you. Amen. And so if you'd like to come down and pray and just talk to God, man, I need the love. I need to experience this. I need to walk in this. I need you. Whatever that is, plenty of space. But here's my encouragement. Don't leave this place without experiencing and talking to God about what He wants for you. Amen? Amen. Let me pray for us, church. God, I love you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your love on display for your children, Jesus. Thank you that you are a God who is love, that you're a God who shows us what love is. But thank you even more than that, that you are a God who puts love in action. I pray that you would move in our hearts. I pray that you would move in our lives. I pray that there's anybody in this place this morning who doesn't know what we're talking about. When we talk about your love, when we talk about salvation, God, I pray that even this moment, they would give their lives to you, that they would experience freedom from sin, shame, guilt, and the grave, that they would know life, abundant life, for the first time, God. Thank you for your love. May we experience it, walk in it, enjoy it, know it, and be transformed by it. It's in Christ's name we pray. And everybody said,